This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 6, as I've recorded on my MacBook Pro using Soundtrack Pro and the Mac's built-in microphone. To those of you who are new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that this is what I talk about here is pretty much just my opinion and from my experience or what I've read, or, you know, I'm just relating some information I've read another place or what I've gathered over the years, just from my experience with guitars, amps, effects, and so on. Please chime in with comments and questions via email to info@theguitarpodcast.net. Today, I'm going to talk about several different things. Oh, first off, I want to tell you that my wife, my whole family basically has a cold, and I've been able to avoid it for the last week, but I think this evening I may be losing the battle. So if my voice sounds a little rough or I'm a little nasally, that's it. Anyway, today we're going to talk about several different things. Just kind of bounce around a little bit. It's going to be a little different than previous podcasts where I basically focused in on one topic and then kind of wound around that as we went. I'm going to start off by talking about just telling you that one of my favorite things besides a paycheck arrived in the mail this week. It's Vintage Guitar Magazine. I just love it. If your guitar store carries it, I would pick it up and check it out, read it. It has all sorts of information about guitar repairs and vintage guitars, of course, and artists of the past, artists that are out now, new releases. It covers a lot of information. I mean, there are a lot of good guitar magazines out there, but this is just my favorite. They're not a sponsor. They're not paying me to say this or anything. I just love the magazine and wanted to pass that on to you. Check it out. So something caught my eye in the paper this week. The Experience Hendrix concert tour was coming through town. Well, not necessarily my town, but near my neck of the woods. Anyway, I would check it out, see if it's coming near your town at experiencehendrixtour.com. Joe Satriani, Johnny Lang, Aerosmith's Brad Whitford, Eric Johnson, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Ernie Isley, Living Color, Chris Layton, Billy Cox, who's a longtime friend of Hendrix, who played bass with Jimmy. Each artist does 3 or 4 songs. Sometimes they team up to do different songs. Some do the songs true to the original. Others put their own twist on it. I would check it out if you could. I think it'd be really awesome to see some of these legendary guitar players play music of the legendary Jimi Hendrix, who I think if you've listened long enough, you hear me repeat his name over and over again, how much I like what he did, and I just love his music. And some of you who may be younger, if you have never heard All Along the Watchtower, great. Great Hendrix song. Originally, it was written by Bob Dylan, but Hendrix put his own stamp on it, and oh my, what an amazing, amazing song. Now to what I really want to talk about is this week, I picked up a new guitar. Actually, it's an old guitar. It's a 1974 Gibson SG Standard. It's, you know, obviously it's from the 70s, and anything before that, before 1980 is considered a vintage instrument. Pretty soon anything before 1990 will be considered a vintage instrument. I guess 85 would be the cutoff now. But anyway, a little background. 70s instruments are ones that I tend to, I mean, like Gibsons and Fenders, I tend to want to stay away from, although they do carry that vintage value and everything. They do demand a higher price than, say, something from the 80s, 90s, or modern day. They kind of have a reputation of not being as good a quality as even modern guitars, even if you wanted to pick one up as a player. I know George Groon, the legendary George Groon, who is basically the godfather of vintage guitars and amps and so on, he says not to mess with the 70s guitars. Only deal with any, you know, with guitars before 1970 in the vintage market, whether it's Gibson or Fender. And talking with a friend of mine, we've found 70s guitars along the way that were really pretty good, and discussing why they have such a bad reputation. And he was telling me a story about, I think he was saying, a 1977 Fender Stratocaster he picked up, and that it really didn't sound very good, and it was a friend of his guitar, and he wound up stripping all the paint off of it. And once he did that, got rid of that thick finish that they were putting on the Strats in the 70s, it sounded great. And he said it you know, rivaled other Strats from the 60s, which I thought that was pretty amazing. But of course, doing that to your guitar lowers its value. It instantly becomes a player. Sure, it may sound better and everything, but any kind of value that it may have had before is lost right there in taking that off. Which leads me to another story about how when the Beatles went to India, they took their Epiphone casinos there, and they were told that, I don't remember the guy's name who told them to do this, but told them the finish on a guitar, these are guitars that they bought in like 62 and 66, or even before, you know, the 60s, where, you know, they were still using nitro, a nice really thin finish on those guitars, that they were told if you remove the finish from the guitar, then the wood breathes better. John Lennon actually did that, and I think George Harrison did as well, and they both said that, you know, it did make the guitar breathe better. There's several photos and lots of footage of John Lennon playing his Epiphone Casino that's basically naked, and that was the guitar he always played. Anyway, so there's a little bit of credibility to that, to removing the finish. I'm not recommending you do that, especially to if you have a 60s casino. I wouldn't do it. that's just me. Anyway, which leads me back to this SG I picked up. So I owned a 1976 Gibson SG back about 10 years ago. I purchased it, and it was okay. It was white, and it had a thick finish, and I was like, you know, it played pretty well. I don't know that it had any kind of special tone to it or anything. It just was. I had a bunch of guitars back then, and I was just buying. I mean, I was single, and I'd gotten out of college and gotten my first job, so I actually had some money then. It was pretty amazing. So what did I do with my money? I went and bought a bunch of guitars. I just went crazy and bought guitars. Anyway, I had it for maybe 6 months or so, and it just was like, yeah, I can do without it. It's not a special guitar. So I sold it. And whenever I saw the one that I bought Thursday, I thought, or a week ago Thursday, actually, I saw it and I knew it was a 70s SG, and, you know, because of the way it has a block inlay on the fretboard instead of a trapezoid inlay like the 60s and what they do now, mainly on the standards and the reissue, that I recognized it as it looked like a 70s. I couldn't imagine somebody reissuing a 70s, that Gibson would reissue the 70s SG. Anyway, I asked the store owner about it, and he told me about it, and he told me the price, and I was like, yeah, that's not terribly bad. It was a lot more than what I spent on the 76 back 10 years ago, but the vintage guitar market has changed quite a bit in 10 years. So I pulled it off the wall and I played it a little bit, and it really started speaking to me. I thought it had, you know, really nice ring to it and nice tone. The action's a little high. I haven't lowered it. I don't know that I'm going to. I think it'll be a great slide guitar. I think it'd be great. It'll make me work a little harder. May slow me down a bit. You know, make me think about, hey, you know, if you're going to hit this note, you better mean it. Type of a thing, that kind of guitar that kind of changes the way you play. Anyway, I just kept playing, and I asked him some more about it, and he told me everything was original on it. And when I opened up the back of it, the wiring hasn't been touched. It has some scuffs, some scrapes. I mean, it's an old guitar. It's a 36-year-old guitar. Come on now. Yeah, but it sounded great. The frets are original. They've been crowned a few times. But there's plenty of life in it left in them. And if I rotate guitars, it's not going to be a big deal. You know, I kept playing it, just thinking, why does this guitar feel and sound so special? And we got to talking, and they joked around about how, you know, in the 70s, every now and then they made a mistake and put out a really good guitar, and I think this one is one. My advice is, if you're, you know, looking for a vintage guitar but don't have the, you know, 5-6 grand or 10 grand or 30 grand to or more, oh my, like a 58 or 59 Les Paul, when you're talking about, you know, $200,000 or $300,000 guitar, that's just insane. You know, you want something that, yeah, you can play and it's not going to cost a terribly large amount of money. I wouldn't overlook a 70s guitar. I'd pick it up and play it. I'd be a little weary of buying one online on eBay or something like that, because, you know, it might be one of those that gave the 70s Fenders and Gibsons that reputation of not being all that good. But if you pick one up and it starts talking to you, you know that that's the one in the one in a million that made it through the factory and sounds really, really good. And I'm very happy to have this guitar, and I plan on keeping it a long time. Don't overlook the 70s guitars. Pick them up, play them, try them out, and they'll talk to you right away. They'll let you know what they are. Don't be surprised if you pick one up and it blows your mind, because this one did, so I bought it. And wrapping up, I want to say that I bought my daughter her first guitar. She's 2.5 years old. I bought her what I'm told to be a 60, early 60s or possibly a 50s Stella half scale acoustic guitar. It's dinky, but you know, she's 2.5, and I wanted to get something real small, and I saw that it was like the smallest guitar I saw on the wall, so I picked it up and started playing it a little bit. I was amazed that it played in tune down near the bridge or the nut, and then I just out of curiosity wanted to see how well it stayed in tune up the neck, how well its intonation was. So I played on up the neck, and it plays in tune. I was just amazed. So I asked the owner, I was like, what's up with this guitar? It plays in tune. He goes, yeah, that's an old Harmony or Stella. Apparently, I haven't done the research on it, but Stella was made by Harmony back in the day, and it's a very nice guitar. Kind of tried to steer me away from that guitar because it's more expensive than a typical beginner guitar, but you know, I thought I want my daughter to have something that's going to sound, play in tune, and sound good, and hey, it's a vintage guitar. Anyway, well, that pretty well wraps it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please chime in with your comments and questions to info@theguitarpodcast.net. I'll either reply back via email or on a future show. This is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.